Disconnect is a podcast which delves into the unique aspects of internet use in Aboriginal communities. Co-hosts Tyson Young-Porter and Ellie Rennie analyse how Indigenous people utilise the internet in their everyday lives and what the impact of this use has on their traditional practices. The Wire's Phoebe Christoffi reports.
We have memorial pages on the internet all the time for people who've passed away. I think you talk to a lot of old people now, they say it's really thick, the ghosts that are around now, the unresting ghosts all around the world, you know, and I think it's these images that are calling to them.
That was Tyson Young-Porter, one of the hosts of the podcast Disconnect. The podcast is an exploration of how much power the internet has on Aboriginal communities and its potentially negative impact. His co-host, Ellie Rennie, spoke to me about how the podcast was created.
So we went to remote communities and spoke to people about internet use and what's going on. In the process of doing that, we began to see that some of the assumptions we make about technology need to be completely taken down. And there's some wonderful stories in there and also some really deep things to think about.
So how would they use that technology differently in the rural communities as opposed to in the city?
One thing that became really obvious to us quite early on in making this, and indeed in the research that we were doing prior to the podcast, was that like we think of, for instance, mobile phones or tablets as personal devices, and that's what they're called. But in remote Aboriginal communities, you know, they come out of a tradition and even an economy where things are shared. So calling something a personal device when you are obliged to give it to somebody, when they request to use it, someone in your network, in your kinship group, changes what happens on that phone. And that can have significant consequences for, say, privacy. So, for instance, some of the stories that were coming out were around someone using someone else's Facebook account or creating a fake profile in ways which were, and then using it and saying things in ways which were quite taboo.
The audio we heard was of your co-host Tyson talking about the effects that posting a memoriam on social media may have. So how can posting about grief impact traditional mourning rituals?
So when someone passes away and that image is being shared in a grieving way on social media, that other people see that as problematic because in traditional Aboriginal culture, someone's name is not spoken after they pass away for a certain amount of time. When I first started researching internet adoption in remote communities, there was a very sad incident with a community that I was working with where there was a car accident, and unfortunately a couple of people from the community passed away in that car crash. And we had worked with the Centre for Appropriate Technology to put in computers in these communities. And the family of the people who had passed away asked us to take the computer and remove their names from, say, the Skype account and the pictures that were on the computer. So it became clear to us that this was an extremely important protocol and that the way that we communicate now was putting pressure on how they wanted to control these things.
Do you think that people who use social media frequently in order to post these kinds of memoriams, do you think that they should take note of the Indigenous protocols and perhaps adopt them into their own lives? I can imagine it could be quite a healing process.
I have a non-Indigenous friend who posted on her own Facebook page after her husband passed away, that she was quite distressed when other people posted photos of him and could they think about the effect that it had on her. I do think that we need to be quite conscientious always of what we post.
That's Ellie Rennie speaking to The Wire's Phoebe Christoffi.